Well, we are, in case you're here for the first time, we are going through a series called the Heroes series, and it's based loosely on the TV show. Well, the title is, at least, and from then on, it's really about something else. But the Heroes series has, in a nutshell, been about challenging ourselves to find within us the unique ways that God has shaped us for His purposes, the things that we're good at and the things that are kind of extraordinary about each one of us. We've each got it. And being a hero simply means finding who we are and offering it back to God, stepping into the gap, whatever the gap is, and making a difference by being who God made us to be. I want to, again, thank our friends over at Granger who gave us the outlines for this series. Okay, so last week we had up here on the stage some of the folks that went to Malawi, and we got a little teaser report. And on Sunday, October 25th, right here during the worship service, really the whole focus of the service will be on Malawi and learning about what that group experienced and what God is doing through that partnership. But there was something that that I heard last week in that presentation that I just haven't been able to get out of my mind. And Christy stood up here and she shared the prayer that she said over and over again, leading up to and even on the trip. Christy's prayer, if you remember, was, God, take care of my family. God, change me. That just blows me away. I mean, here's Christy, a great friend of mine, and just top of her field as a law professor. She's got an awesome family. And here's Christy saying, God, I know you're calling me to something more. God, grow me. God, change me. Tell me, please, tell me I'm not the only one who resonates with that. I would bet that this room is full of people who have felt that way at one time or another. God, I've got everything in my life that I ever wanted. I have achieved all of the things that ought to have made me happy, but something's missing. God, change me. Maybe you were on that path for a little while. Maybe there was a time in life when you felt close to God, close to that call that you felt like He had for you. God seemed close at hand. And maybe you remember where you started to drift away from that path. Maybe you made some wrong decisions, or maybe it was simply chasing after the wrong things. Somehow, we find ourselves off the path. And instead of screaming down the highway, journeying with God, we've chosen other directions. And now, we look around at our lives, and we can't help but wonder, what did we miss? We've got a GPS device in our car. Maybe you do too. Ours is called, we call her Maggie, because it's a Magellan GPS. So Maggie helps us figure out how to get around. And this was really useful when we first moved to Champaign, until we realized that everything's square here. The roads, not the people. But you know, it's, okay, are there any of you who, once in a while, you're driving along with your little GPS device, and you decide, you know what? I know better than the GPS. All the wives just chuckled to themselves and looked at their husbands. You know, sometimes we just decide, I'm going to go my own way. And initially, the little computer lady in your GPS is upset. She says, U-turn, turn around. No, not this way. After a while, if we have any humility at all, we realize Maggie was right. And our first instinct is to go back to that place where we missed the turn. If I can just go back to that spot, then I'll be back on the road and I'll get to where I'm going. But Maggie has a better idea. Because Maggie knows you can't get back there. In fact, that's the wrong direction now. Here we are. We're in it together. There's another way. So here's what I'm going to do. Recalculating route, Maggie says. recalculating route. We can't go back. We can only start where we are right now. I've talked to a lot of people in the course of my relatively short life as a minister, people who will say things like, you know, I used to feel close to God. I used to be excited about following Jesus. There were those times when I knew that Jesus was close. But I don't feel it anymore. I miss it. I don't know what happened. But God seems so far away. They long for that sense of purpose and meaning that comes from following Christ. And they want to know, how do I get back on that path? How do I get back to where I was when I was 17 in Sunday night youth club? Well, I got some bad news. You can't go back. You're old now. You're not there anymore. Every day, each of us has a choice to make to simply start where we are. We can't pretend that all these things haven't happened. We can't pretend that we didn't make these choices. We are different. Different sets of experiences, different relationships, different wisdom from our mistakes. It's time to recalculate our route from right where we are today. And you know what? That's the beauty of the Jesus story. Whenever we realize that we've missed our way and we've ended up somewhere that we never intended to be, Jesus is right there waiting, saying, I can work with that. Let's recalculate the route. I can get you back on the path from right here, and I've got great things for you to do. So what does it look like? What does it look like to ask God to recalculate my route? In Acts 16, there's this great story. It's printed in your discussion guide if you got one of those on the way in. This story, it's about this possessed slave girl. Kind of some strange stuff going on. The story tells us that she has this evil spirit that gives her the ability to predict the future. And this lady, young girl really, is her master's. She's a slave. She's owned by these folks, and they're using her for profit. They don't care about her. They don't really care about her condition. They simply care about making money. So they're using her as an income stream. But this lady, this young girl, is following Paul and Silas as they're doing their ministry in this town. And this woman is following them every day, screaming, these men serve the Most High God, and they're here to tell you how to have your sins forgiven, over and over again. And then comes one of these great understatements in the Bible. The Bible's full of these. It's easy to skim right over it. It says, Paul in great distress. Well, yeah, day after day, this lady's screaming, these men are from the Most High God. It would get old. So finally, Paul in great distress, he can't take it anymore. She's driving him crazy. He turns around and by the power of Jesus Christ sets her free. The woman goes from being an overwhelming inconvenience to being a divine interruption. And then the story brings up all kind of questions for me about things like spirits and predicting the future. But even more, why did they wait so long? Why didn't they just set her free that first day, the first time she screamed out? Maybe it was because they were in a hurry. Maybe it was because they already had a plan and she didn't fit on their route. They knew what they were doing. They knew where they were going. And she was just a distraction. Well, the story goes on. After she's been set free, she can't predict the future anymore. And the owners are outraged at this loss of income. And so they have Paul and Silas chucked into jail. Imagine Paul and Silas. Jail? I mean, what would you have done? She was driving us crazy. That would have been enough for me to say, sit, I'm done. No more setting people free. I'm out of it. Last time I try to help you out, God. When I set off on this journey, this was not the destination I had in mind. They could have given up, but they didn't. Paul, in fact, says, Lord, here I am. Not the circumstances I would have chosen, but these are my circumstances. I didn't plan to be here, but here I am. Lord, what do you want to do? That means recalculate my route. In verse 25, it says, they're sitting in jail. And what are they doing? They're praying and they're worshiping. The other prisoners are sitting there. It says they were listening. I don't know what else they're going to do. They're kind of a captive audience, kind of like church sometimes. And as they're sitting there praying, all of a sudden there's a giant earthquake. The doors spring open and the chains clamped onto their legs and their hands, the chains fall off. Now the guard comes running because he hears all the noise and he comes running and he sees all the doors open and he draws his sword to kill himself because he would have to. If he didn't, they would kill him for letting the prisoners escape. So he's ready to kill himself and Paul and Silas say, wait, don't do it. We're all still here. He can't believe it. He's amazed. He listens to their story, and he asks them. You can see this in your passage. He asks them, what must I do to be saved? So they tell him about Jesus, about how he died so that our sins could be forgiven, how he died so that our route could be recalculated. Because Paul and Silas allowed God to consistently recalculate their route, because they were willing to let a divine interruption changed their course. Because of that, the jailer and his whole family come to faith. God, take care of my family. God, change me. God's calling us to simply cooperate with him, to stand against injustice and cruelty, poverty, brokenness, wherever we see it. There's a great story in 2 Samuel. There was this pattern, this thing that kept happening over and over again. At harvest time, the Philistines would come marching in to the Israelites' land and they would steal their harvest. And the Israelites would just kind of flee and run away every year, except for one man. Finally, a man named Shema had all he could take. And all alone, everyone else fled. All alone, he stood there. And by the power of God, beat back the Philistines and changed an injustice. David, same thing in 1 Samuel. Every day, Goliath marches out and mocks the army of God. Mocks them, and nobody will do anything about it. But David, little teen, I don't know, 12-year-old David, walks up. In the Living Bible, it says that David tells this army, hey, don't worry about a thing. I'll take care of it. David says, I'm not going to let this happen anymore. There comes a point in time where we've got to say, enough's enough. That's enough of that. This is not what I had planned. I'm a little surprised, but I look out in the community and there's all this need and someone should do something about it. And it's going to be me. So God, recalculate my route. God, take care of our family. Jesus, change us. God tells us over and over again that he wants justice and kindness and mercy and humility. You know what we're doing? We're simply trying to cooperate with God's agenda. We as a church, we're committing to doing something about the brokenness we see wherever we see it. We're committing to setting people free from whatever it is that binds them. We're committing to joining God in his mission of seeking and saving the lost. We're going to do something about it. But doing something about it will require each of us finding our inner hero, each of us committing to doing our part, each of us saying, God, take care of our family. God, change me. God, I wasn't planning on this, but recalculate my route. Do you remember Peter? Jesus has been arrested 3 times. Peter stands before a group of people and denies even knowing Jesus. Peter was on the right track. He was one of Jesus' 12 chosen disciples. He was on the right path, but he made a big mistake, and he got off the course. And that could have been the end of the road for Peter. Peter could have said, I missed it, screwed up, I'm done. I'm out. God can't use me. But God didn't want Peter out of the race. Jesus comes to Peter. After rising from the dead, he comes to Peter. Then he says, Peter, let's recalculate your route. Do you love me? Yeah. Feed my sheep. God, take care of our family. God, change us. Acts 2. Just a short while later, Peter stands in front of that very same community where he had denied Jesus 3 times, and he preaches this great sermon, and 3,000 people hear about the grace of God, and they say, I want to be a part of that. 3,000. Every one of you should have on your seat a pledge card. Would you pick that up with me and take a peek? Out-of-town guests, you can write whatever you want on here. That would be kind of fun to see what kind of creative things you could come up with. But these pledge cards represent some of the ways that we need one another to help out, to be a hero, to plug in and do what we can do to add value. Last week we talked about increasing our ability to care for one another so that people don't fall off the edge. This is how we're going to take care of one another. So what I want you to do is take a look there. Find an area where you feel like you can be a hero. Lord, here's where I am. I think I can help with this. I think I can get involved right where I am. Start cooperating with you. Making a difference. I'm ready, God. I'm ready to do my part. I'm ready to pour compassion out. I'm ready to show your love. I'm ready to make a difference so that we can make a difference. Now, if you look at this pledge card, you're going to notice that all 6 categories, there's 3 on the front, 3 on the back, all 3 categories represent things inside our church. And you're probably thinking, Scott, haven't you been telling us for 2 years that God wants us out there? Yes, I have, and yes, he does. But let me explain it this way. You've probably heard of the 80-20 rule, right? 80-20 rule normally means 20% of the people do 80% of the work, or 20% of the people give 80% of the money. We're going to take the 80-20 rule, and we're going to mix it up a little bit. Our goal is not 80-20, but 100%. We want 100% of the people who are a part of our community of faith finding the way that God has called and created them to be a hero. 100%. But here's what the 80-20 is going to mean. I want to challenge each and every one of you to find the way God is calling you to serve. And I would like you to consider that 80% of it, 80% of your service to the kingdom of God should be in the area that lights your heart on fire. Find the thing that makes you come alive when you do it. Find the thing that the need, the concern, the issue, whatever it is, find the thing that you see it and you grieve and you want to do something about it. Find your 80%. Spend 80% of your service energy doing that, because that's what God created you for. That's what a hero, that's where a hero becomes a hero. But you know what? Even a hero has to clean the bathroom once in a while. Even a hero has to take out the trash. So the 20%, can 20% of your service to the kingdom of God be in those areas that just help us do church? That help us be the family that is strong enough and equipped enough, that is caring for each other enough, that nobody falls off the edge. Here's the beauty of it. In the kingdom of God, even that 20% can make an eternal impact. Jane Bernthal and Sarah Graham come in here on Sunday mornings, and they decorate these tables frequently. Occasionally, when they're not here, I have to do it. When I'm in charge, the tables are lucky if I remember the cross up there. But when Jane and Sarah add their touch, you can just feel the creative spirit of God. You may not notice it. You may not notice how the tables look. But maybe, just maybe, somebody walks in here for the first time on a Sunday and they sense, they may not know why, but they sense the Spirit of God flowing and doing new things. And Sarah and Jane, their 20% makes an eternal difference. God uses that. God uses that to help grab hold of somebody's heart and plant them safely in the family of God. They're using their God-given gifts of creativity. They're offering their 20% by decorating tables, and it matters. There's another side to it. Some people's 20% might be somebody else's 80%. Maybe you're looking at this list and you're thinking, children, I don't mind children. I guess I could help out in Sunday school. And you're doing it because you know somebody needs to. And you know what? That's okay. If that's your 20%, that's a 20% that we need. But let me tell you this. If you've ever seen Patty Farthing talk to a 7-year-old kid, you've seen Jesus at work. Because for Patty, it's her 80. Patty looks at kids. She hears Ava crying, and her heart says, Jesus loves you so much, and I want to tell you. Learn to talk, and then we'll tell you about Jesus. Patty was made to do that. Patty was made to be a hero by loving on our kids. Here's how I'm going to fill mine out. I look through this list, and this is going to confirm for some of you your suspicions that something's not quite right in my head. But the one that jumps out at me is the one that says youth. So I'm going to check the youth box on the pledge card. And then, as I look through that list, I see middle school students. Hey, I resonate with those guys. In fact, our maturity levels are like right even. So on this line right here in the middle, I'm going to write, I checked youth, but I really like middle school students. That's what I want to do. When I'm with teenagers, my heart comes alive. I like them. I think they kind of like me. So I'm volunteering on Wednesday nights. I'm volunteering. I'm going to be a junior high leader. I'm loving it. We're having a blast. I want to ask you this morning, I want to ask you to pray Christie's prayer. God, take care of our family. God, change me. And then listen for God's answer. God, take care of our family. Whether it's your 80 or your 20, I encourage you to check a box. In a little bit, we're going to take up the offering. There should be pens and pencils around. If you want to go ahead and fill it out right now, you'll be done with it. Some of you, as I look around the room, you're significant people in our community. Some of you are parents and your kids are sitting by you. Let me tell you, why don't you go ahead and fill something out just to impress the person that's sitting next to you. Would you do that for me? I know that God is planning great things for our church. And what we're doing right now is we are trying to build a base that will enable us to care for so many people. Because I know that God wants to use us to bless our community. We are a blessed people, there is no doubt. We're not blessed for ourselves. We are blessed to be a blessing. So God, take care of our family. And then God, change us. God, recalculate our route. Wherever you sit this morning, if you've never considered it before, hear me say it. You are not, I don't care where you are not beyond God's grace. You are not at a place, you are not so far off the map that God cannot simply say, turn this way and I'll use you. And hear me say, lastly, the world needs you. God, take care of your family. Jesus, change me. Let's pray.